This is the sermon preached on the Sunday nearest to Epiphany, January the 8th in 2023, and Happy New Year. Most of the well-known Christmas narratives come from St. Luke's Gospel, but for the feast that we call Epiphany, Christ being revealed to the Magi, or wise men, and thus to the Gentiles, we look to St. Matthew for the sharing of the details. These visitors to the crib are a stark contrast to the shepherds, not only in wealth and background, but also in the slow astronomical calculations that lead them to the place where Christ is born. The shepherds heard the message of the angels and in the sky and ran. The Magi spotted a significant star and plotted their course. There is, if you like, a message to each of us in the response of these two groups. Some people find the pathway to faith quite natural and trouble-free. Others are slower for faith to mature, and the intellectual processes create an arduous, even at times tortured, journey into belief. So it is. What matters is that we are journeying towards the same Christ who is the Word of God who comes among us, and the same Christ whose cross is the point of our reconciliation with God our Creator. There is no harm in a mystery being exciting. There is no harm in a mystery demanding much thoughtful debate. Quite the opposite. For both, there is only joy waiting to be discovered. St. Matthew shares information about the gifts that are brought by the Magi: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is quite a baby shower, as Americans might refer to it. Each gift is calculated to be symbolic. It seems they are not chosen at random. Majesty, sacrifice, and death seem to be the message foretold in the gifts. The child in the manger is a king of kings and lord of lords. For him, the majesty of the mineral of kings, gold. Then sacrifice. Incense is the smell of the temple where the sacrifices of the priests would take place. This child is destined to be the new temple, and his priesthood and sacrifice is once and for all, thus removing the need for endless sacrificial lambs, for he is the Lamb of God. Death. From the moment of his birth, death is in the air. Myrrh is for the embalming of the body. Mary is told that a sword will pierce her own heart because her child will suffer and will transform the suffering of the world. Let's think about gifts. In many of our Christmas and Epiphany hymns, we sing of gifts and their meaning. One of the best known is In the Bleak Midwinter, whose final verse is, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I am, I give him, give my heart." The final line is, of course, a challenge to all of us at the start of a new year and at this Epiphany time to consider again our response to the glory of God revealed in Christ in Bethlehem. However, I'd like to take this challenge just a little further to ask what gifts we bring to the Christ in the crib, the cosmic Christ, our great high priest, and the foundation stone of the church. What are the distinctive gifts that we as Anglicans bring to Jesus? In the summer of last year, hundreds of Anglican bishops from our global Anglican family gathered in Canterbury at the invitation of Justin, Archbishop of Canterbury, who is the principal bishop and metropolitan of our whole Anglican koinonia, our Anglican household. This holy gathering of our bishops is called the Lambeth Conference and happens every 10 years, though last year's was a delayed conference because of 2 years of the pandemic. These 600 or so bishops represent the mind and practice of a significant part of Christ's church here on earth, offering a distinctive understanding of the very nature of what the church is. Among the bishops, there will be differing views on many issues. I don't recall the synods and councils of the early church being places of quiet acceptance, but rather of robust debate and sometimes real and physical conflict. However, there are four guiding principles that will have formed the minds and the hearts of those bishops when they gathered, and which are the very core of our Anglican identity. On this Epiphany Sunday, I'd like to offer these as four gifts to present before our Christ. These four principles, these gifts, are referred to as the Lambeth Quadrilateral. This started out its life known as the Chicago Statement, and the four principles of the early statement were Scripture, Tradition, Episcopacy, and Sacraments. This was reviewed, revised, and matured over decades, and the four principles are now Scripture, Tradition, Reason, and Experience. These four principles guide the Anglican Church in all its national and ethnic forms, whether you're an Anglican in New Zealand or Rwanda, Cyprus, Poland, England, and even here in Greece. I'd like to offer just a very few brief words about why each principle is so essential and why these are gifts to Christ's Church. Firstly, Scripture. Scripture is the historic word of God, as received by both in Jewish and Christian tradition. These are historic documents, but in faith we believe them to be God-inspired and as relevant to the Church and our lives now as when they were written. The Anglican Church is deeply rooted in Scripture. Our worship is nearly all taken directly from the Bible or to be found in biblical imagery. We are a church that is a child of the Reformation, and at the heart of the Reformation is the Bible. Secondly, tradition. The great insights of the Reformation permitted the Western Church, until then dominated by the Church of Rome, to discover again the texts of Scripture in Greek and the writings of the early fathers of the undivided Church, that universal Church that existed before the great schism of 1054. Thanks to the reforming spirit, we connected again with the theology of our ancient foundation. As a distinctive part of this movement that spread across Europe, we remained faithful to the patterns of the New Testament Church and the unbroken traditions of bishop, priest, deacon, sacraments and prayer. Thus, as Anglicans, we are uniquely Catholic and Reformed. Thirdly, reason. Christian theology has always encouraged thought and intellectual energy. The early fathers are proof of this with their profound writings. The Reformation began to make intellectual demands on the inherited faith, and deep questions were being asked about the received beliefs and practices. Then the Enlightenment and scientific discoveries placed huge question marks over inherited world views that had been supported by the Church and other influences such as the Industrial Revolution and the emergence of biblical criticism, all required us to be a church that was willing to think, willing to debate, willing to balance Scripture and tradition with the development of the human mind. If Scripture can be God-inspired, so too can be the human mind. Lastly, experience. If we're not open to the possibilities of things being different, then we run the risk of being left behind, just as parts of the church were left behind at the Reformation, at the Enlightenment, and so forth. There is a phrase, Ecclesia semper reformanda, a church always open to reform. Human experience is one area where the church must have an open mind and an open heart to new anthropological discoveries. This will always be a challenge to the church, being faithful to heritage and being challenged by contemporary realities is not an undaunting task. But we must offer our insights from scripture, tradition, and reason to the huge global debates that are current, or we run the risk of being considered irrelevant, and we will be burying our heads in the sand instead of bringing the bright light of the Epiphany Christ into human experience. As Christians, we have a body of profound insights to offer the world about the human person that need to be heard alongside other views. So, in an insultingly brief overview, these are the gifts that we as Anglicans offer to the life of the whole of Christ's church here on earth. As the Magi followed a star to the Christ child, so we follow our guiding principles. I believe these to be gifts that honour the glory and majesty of Christ, and are also a precious gift of our own tradition to the life of the whole church in all her parts. What can I give him? Give my heart. This is a challenge to each of us. What do we together as Anglicans give to honour him? I hope we lay before him these gifts of scripture, tradition, reason, and experience as gifts worthy of the altar of our High Priest. Amen.